Safety and Home by Ecstasis Wings. Read by Mist Marauder. The thing Eddie remembers most about the shooting isn't the shot itself, or the pain, or even the fear. It's the cold. The icy numbness of shock curling down his spine, twisting through his veins like tendrils of frost creeping across a windowpane in winter. Cold, as his pulse skyrocketed, his body's signals all crossed and confused and trying to circulate blood, not seeming to grasp the fact that his blood was seeping out onto the asphalt beneath him, that trying to circulate it faster was just making it worse. Cold, like he was a stupid kid at camp, diving into a frigid lake before dawn. Except above him was a blue sky and a bright sun beating down, and the fact that it was Los Angeles in May didn't do a damn thing to help. He couldn't feel it. He could only feel the cold. Buck, though? Buck, he felt. Buck's hands burned. On his chest, his neck, his face. So warm that Eddie almost wanted to flinch away, but he couldn't. He was aware enough to realize that if Buck was warm, he was probably telling the truth when he said he wasn't hurt. And that was good. That was all he needed to know. The cold? Eddie's been through enough in his life to know that his subconscious works in weird ways. After Afghanistan, he dreamed more directly of burning helicopters and gunfire, blood in his mouth and smoke on his tongue, shadows and screams and guilt. After the well, his dreams were of Christopher, Shannon, waves crashing on a beach, and Buck, sunlight. This time Eddie dreams of drowning, trapped beneath ice, his hands slamming against it, eventually forced to inhale, water flooding his mouth, his throat, his lungs, cold, cold, cold. Sometimes after he wakes, he'll spend hours shivering, phantom chills that won't go away even when he wraps himself in blankets. The therapist he's mandated to see before he can be cleared for work tells him that the brain doesn't always process trauma by taking the most direct path. Eddie doesn't know why he is fixated on this, the cold. Maybe it's just easiest. Because the shooting... His chest gets tight when he's walking in open air. Sweat breaks out across his brow when the sunlight glints off of windows. His pulse races. He can't breathe. It feels a little like drowning. Do you feel safe? Dr. Kingston asks one session. And Eddie thinks about freezing in a grocery store parking lot, gripping the edge of a cart to keep his hands from shaking. Thinks about Buck curving a hand around his shoulder, solid and warm. Sometimes, Eddie admits. It depends. Depends on what? He tastes the lie on his tongue before it slips out. I don't know. When the world shut down and Eddie had to leave Christopher with his abuela so that he could keep working without worrying constantly that he was putting his son at risk, Bucks was the obvious place to go. And Eddie doesn't know if things would have been different if it had been just the two of them, but Hen and Chim deciding it was also the obvious place for them to go meant there weren't a lot of options for sleeping arrangements. So Eddie shared the bed with Buck. And it didn't matter if either of them wound up wrapped around the other, the lines of their bodies pressed close enough to bleed together, if they curled into one another like plants twisting to find the light. It was instinct. To seek comfort, warmth, touch. Both of them alone for so long and just needing. They never talked about it. There wasn't anything to talk about. If it made Eddie's heart race, if it made him ache for something he hadn't expected and didn't wholly understand, If when he returned home alone again, his own bed felt too empty, that was his own problem. Now, though, now he knows. Because he stood frozen on the street and stared at Buck, with Carla's words in his head, "Make sure you're following your heart," and realized, oh, it hadn't just been convenience. It had been love. Need and desire and love. Now, he knows, but doesn't know what to do with that knowledge, with the awareness he has suddenly. Buck is living in his house, in his space, helping him with Christopher and with his own recovery, making sure he takes his meds and gets to his appointments and does his exercises. Buck is there, all the time, and it's a blessing and a curse because Eddie burns whenever Buck touches him. And Buck touches him. A lot. He hadn't at first, right after Eddie came home from the hospital. Eddie would catch him sometimes looking like he wanted to, but holding back. Reaching out, but stopping himself. And Eddie never asked why. Even now, he doesn't think he ever needed to. He knows what it's like to be afraid, to be unsteady, adrift, worrying that touching something you expect to be solid will reveal it's just an illusion, not wanting to find out if it is. But Buck touches him now, and sometimes Eddie will wake up to find that Buck's migrated from the couch in the living room to a chair by his bed, folded in and fitfully asleep. Buck never says, but Eddie's pretty sure it's so Buck can reassure himself that Eddie's still breathing. Eddie understands that need, too. Sometimes he isn't sure himself. The first time it happens after Buck's relationship with Taylor has flamed out. For himself, he and Anna have been over since just after he left the hospital. Eddie finally just gets up. Buck. He curves a hand around the side of Buck's neck and passes his thumb along the edge of his jaw. Buck startles awake, looking somehow guilty.
"I didn't wake you up, did I? Sorry. I know it's... I can go back to the..."
"Will you just come to bed?" Eddie interrupts, before Buck successfully talks himself into leaving the room. "Please." Buck's eyes flick down to his shoulder. He swallows hard.
"I don't want to..."
"Oh."
"You won't hurt me," Eddie promises. "Okay?"
Buck searches his face in the dark, but if he sees anything, he clearly doesn't mind because he nods and gets up from the chair. When they both resettle on the mattress, Buck only pauses for a moment before curving around him like a parenthesis. His arm falling across Eddie's waist. Eddie's breath catches.
"Is this..."
Eddie closes his eyes and sinks into the embrace. If it feels just a little bit like cheating because he hasn't told Buck how he feels, that's between him and God.
"I'm fine," he assures.
Then adds, to make it a little more fair,
"You aren't the only one who needs... You weren't the only one."
Buck relaxes at that, his grip tightening a little with newfound certainty. When Eddie dreams, he doesn't drown. "You look good," Dr. Kingston acknowledges 2 weeks later. "You've been sleeping better."
"Yeah," Eddie replies. "I stopped having nightmares, so I haven't been waking up as much."
He catches the surprise that flickers across her face. "They stopped completely?" she asks. "Have you been doing something different, or..." Eddie shifts in his chair and clears his throat. What is he supposed to tell her? That he stopped having nightmares when he started sleeping with Buck every night? He's not really ready to unpack that with his therapist. He's barely ready to unpack that in his own head.
"Just lucky, I guess,"
he says. Dr. Kingston puts down her pen and levels him with a long look that tells him she knows that's bullshit and is trying to decide whether to push or let it go until another time. She lets it go. Well, she replies, I'm glad to hear it. Eddie feels like he's dodged another bullet. Later, though, he wonders if he shouldn't have said more, if he shouldn't have asked questions, because he goes to sleep and... The water is pitch black and freezing. Eddie's eyes sting, but it doesn't matter whether he keeps them open or not. There's nothing to see. He kicks his legs anyway, swims up, 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 even though it hurts to make his limbs work when they're so cold. There's a faint light, the surface, and he kicks harder, desperate to reach. Ice. Nothing but a sheet of ice, solid and thick. His lungs burn from lack of air, his palms beat against the ice. He can't keep moving. It's too cold. He can't... Eddie. Eddie! Hans sees him from nowhere, almost too warm, and Eddie could have sworn the ice had no cracks, but he's being lifted out. Eddie! He snaps awake, gasping. Buck's face swims into view, worry painted across every line. His hands are on Eddie's shoulders. They're so warm. Eddie shivers. You were hyperventilating, Buck says. I thought... Just a dream, Eddie grits out, trying to keep his teeth from chattering. He still feels frozen. Stupid, it was a dream. It wasn't real, so he shouldn't. It shouldn't be this difficult. He shivers again. Buck's brow furrows deeper. You're shaking. Are you cold? Eddie sits up and scrubs his hands over his face. He swallows back the denial on his tongue, the urge to run away and hide in the bathroom until a scalding shower makes him feel somewhat human again. Maybe he can't always be honest with his therapist, but he can be honest with Buck. Yes, he admits. But it's not... It's just in my head. When I got shot, I... It's hard to explain, but... Yes, I'm cold. Freezing. I don't know how... He cuts off, and Buck shifts on the mattress. Reaches out slowly so Eddie has plenty of time to stop him if he doesn't want to be touched. And finally wraps his arms around him, pulling Eddie firmly against his chest. I'll keep you warm, Buck says quietly. And Eddie? Something in him cracks. Not like ice during a thaw, but resolve after too much time of being worn down. Pressure applied in precisely the right spot. He's raw and ragged, and his scarred heart hardly feels like anything anyone should want. But he's so tired of pretending he hasn't been trying to press it into Buck's hands for a year in different ways. He's tired of not asking and being afraid and waiting. He's tired. Buck makes a soft sound of surprise when Eddie kisses him. But he doesn't push him away. And Eddie can't help himself from pressing closer, curling one hand into Buck's shirt and the other around the back of his neck, and kissing him again and again and again, feeling altogether too frantic. He'll probably find it in himself to be embarrassed in the morning, but want and desperation have left very little room for shame at the moment. Buck kisses him back. His hands drop to Eddie's hips as Eddie does his best to climb into his lap. Eddie, Buck pants between kisses. Eddie, His head falls back, and Eddie takes the opportunity to continue his exploration down the exposed line of Buck's neck. Should we talk about this? Buck finally manages, even as his own hands flirt with the hem of Eddie's shirt. Eddie freezes. The answer, of course, is yes.
But talking is the last thing he wants to do, when part of him still feels chilled to the bone, not wholly alive. He wants to be touched, wants to be consumed, wants to fall into orbit around Buck's sun and never leave. And it's late, dark. The two of them, the bed, the very room caught in a liminal space where anything could happen, anything could be said, anything could be forgiven. Eddie can't decide if that's a good thing or a dangerous one. His mouth drags along the edge of Buck's jaw. This isn't because I wanted someone and you happened to be here, if that's what you're worried about. He doesn't look at Buck's face. It's easier to not. To focus on something else. He stopped going to confession a long time ago. But he never had to look directly at his priest either. Always some curtain or other barrier obscuring things, lending the illusion of privacy, anonymity. I'm in love with you, he admits, and Buck's hands flex on his hips. I've been in love with you, so we can talk about this if you want, but... In an instant, Eddie's on his back, the rest of his sentence swallowed up by the tongue sliding into his mouth. Buck is a warm, solid weight on top of him, pinning him, anchoring him. And Eddie finds he doesn't mind when it forces him to be in the moment, reminds him that he's fully in his own body. I love you too, Buck whispers when the kiss breaks. And then he's pushing Eddie's shirt up and off and dispensing with his own. Shannon was his first. Eddie wasn't hers. And he remembers being glad that at least one of them had some idea of what to do, because the second she touched him, he was so overwhelmed by sensation that he could hardly think. This is not dissimilar. Buck's chest presses flush against his, all warm, bare skin, and Eddie feels like he could drown in a different way. He arches up, seeking Buck's mouth again, and Buck obliges. Eddie's focus narrows to certain points. The slick slide of Buck's tongue against his. Buck's hand ghosting along his ribs. The careful space between their hips. And the low burn of heat in his gut that makes him want to close the gap. His hands slide up Buck's back slowly. His fingers tracing the knobs of Buck's spine. The sharp edges of his shoulder blades. They dance along the line of his shoulders, too. Sketching the breath that he's noticed but never allowed his thoughts to linger on. His touch is careful, reverent, as if Buck is a holy thing that his stained sinner hands have no business touching. Perhaps, in a sense, that's true. He's never been a very good Catholic, but sex, desire, love, sex has always been something sacred to him. In high school, he shied away from the locker room-style conversations about who went how far with whom. Kept out of any discussion involving lamentations about still being a virgin at graduation. For one thing, he thought they were usually crass and disrespectful. But mainly, he didn't care about waiting until marriage or anything like that. But he always knew he wanted to be in love. Hence, Shannon. And why there hadn't been anyone after her. Until now. Eddie kisses Buck until his lungs ache, but he's not close enough. Feels like he can't get close enough. One of his hands slides into Buck's hair, but the other trails back down. Presses lightly on Buck's lower back as his own hips rock up, seeking friction. Buck swears against his lips and closes the distance. Eddie can feel him hard in his sweatpants and flushes, dizzy at the thought of having made that happen, dizzy at the thought of more. Dizzy? He feels very much like a clumsy teenager again, fumbling his way through on instinct. At least this sort of thing is familiar, even if he hasn't done it with a man before. Buck grinds their hips together,
the friction sending sparks through every one of Eddie's nerve endings, and kisses down his neck, teeth scraping over his pulse point. Eddie gasps and Buck hums, low and pleased against his skin. And then, just as he thinks he's used to the slow burn of pleasure, Buck shifts his weight and slides a hand down to toy with Eddie's waistband. Buck meets his eyes in the dark and swallows hard. Can I? This time, when Eddie shivers, it has nothing to do with the cold. Please, he rasps. And Buck smiles before tugging Eddie's pants down just enough to wrap his hand around Eddie's cock. Buck's touch is a little tentative at first, clearly unused to the angle. And the part of Eddie that's still capable of noticing that spends a brief moment feeling grateful that he's not the only one lacking in experience here. But what Buck may lack in experience, he makes up for in enthusiasm, and experimenting with grip and speed and pressure to figure out exactly what to do to make Eddie gasp again, to make him bite his lip, to make him hide his face in Buck's shoulder to muffle any louder noises he can't quite hold back. It doesn't take long. Even before the shooting, Eddie rarely bothered to touch himself with any sort of regularity, and during his recovery, he had even less of a reason to do so. What little energy he had in the first few months better spent elsewhere. He hadn't realized how badly he needed it. But clearly his body did, because his orgasm hits him like a train when Buck spits into his hand for extra glide and twists his wrists on the upstroke. He bites Buck's shoulder and Buck's hips jerk, and then he's just floating. Boneless, breathless, and utterly wrecked in the best possible way. Buck collapses on the mattress next to him as Eddie's catching his breath. Eddie reaches out, his hands skating over Buck's stomach, and makes a questioning noise. Buck laughs quietly and catches his hand, bringing it to his lips. I'm good, Buck promises, and even in the dark, Eddie can see his cheeks flush. Eddie curls into his side. Really? Buck kisses him. I don't think you realize how long I've wanted to do that. Or how good you look. So, yes. Yes, really. Eddie's lips curve up. He presses a kiss to the edge of Buck's jaw. As the immediate aftermath wears off, his eyelids start to grow heavy, his limbs moving a little less easily. We should probably shower, he acknowledges, although the strength of the statement is likely diminished by the yawn that interrupts him halfway through. Probably, Buck agrees, but he too makes no move to actually get up. Pressed against him as he is, Eddie is warm and sated and content. He drifts, skirting the edge of sleep. I love you, he says again, because it feels important. Buck hums. If he says something else, it's too low for Eddie to catch. When he dreams again, he doesn't dream of drowning. He doesn't dream of the cold. Instead, there's just a light, just warmth, just Buck. The end.